Welcome to ONTAP Daily for July 6, 2026. I'm your host, John, and as always, we've got the latest from across the e-commerce world. What's changing, what it means, and what you should actually do about it. Let's get into it. We're covering the full long weekend, so there's plenty to get through from Friday through today. Let's start with what I think is the most important partner release of the period, and that's Hoover Theme version 1.5.1, which dropped at the start of July and represents a genuinely significant shift in how Magento handles some of its most performance-critical front-end elements. Here's what Hoover have done. They've moved configurable product swatches, those color selectors, size pickers, and image variant options that shoppers interact with on every product page, from client-side JavaScript rendering to server-side PHP rendering. That might sound like a technical detail, but it has direct business implications. Previously, when a shopper loaded a product page, the swatches would pop in after JavaScript executed, creating visible layout shift and a sluggish visual experience. Now, swatches arrive in the initial HTML response. Alpine.js still handles the interactivity, selecting an option, updating the price, but the visual elements are there from the moment the page renders. The same approach has been applied to the product gallery, which is arguably the most important visual element on any e-commerce page. For anyone tracking Core Web Vitals, this is meaningful. Largest contentful paint and cumulative layout shift are the two metrics most directly affected, and both are Google ranking signals. If you're running a Hoover Magento store and you've been wrestling with LCP scores, this upgrade could move the needle. But here's the caveat. Hoover 1.5.1 also overhauls the modal system, replacing the custom JavaScript implementation with the native HTML dialog element. That's technically elegant. Better accessibility, proper focus trapping, built-in keyboard navigation, but it's a breaking change for any store with custom JavaScript that interacts with the modal API directly. If you've built custom quick view modals, newsletter pop-ups, or size guide overlays, those will need updating. Hoover has released a legacy compatibility package to bridge the gap, which is a sensible approach, but you'll still want to plan this upgrade carefully rather than just running it on a Friday afternoon. They've also bumped Tailwind CSS from version 4.1 to 4.3, keeping the framework current with the broader Tailwind ecosystem. All in all, this is one of the most substantial Hoover releases we've seen, and it reinforces a clear architectural direction, reduce JavaScript dependency for initial page render, use modern web standards, and make performance the default rather than something you have to optimize for. Alongside the theme release, Hoover also pushed version 2.0.14 of their checkout Stripe integration, which is a routine maintenance update, but worth noting if you're running Stripe through Hoover checkout. Switching over to Shopify. Two notable API changes landed on July 3rd that developers building on the platform should be aware of. First, the Markets API in the 2026.07 release candidate now supports what Shopify calls Market Region Subdivision. What this means in practice is that merchants can now configure markets at the subcountry level, think individual states or provinces, rather than whole countries. This is tied to Shopify's market-driven shipping initiative, and it matters for merchants who need granular control over shipping zones, pricing, or tax calculation at the state level. Right now, this is shipping only. Discounts, catalogs, and theme contextualization at the sub-region level aren't supported yet, but it signals where Shopify's markets architecture is heading. For any app developer working with markets, there's a critical detail. The deprecated market.regions field may omit subdivision regions, so you need to read sub-region membership through the new market.conditions.regions condition.regions path instead. Second, starting with API version 2026-10, orders that have no items to fulfill because they were fully cancelled or refunded before anything shipped will return a new status called fulfillment not required instead of the misleading unfulfilled status they used to return. This is one of those quietly important changes that prevents downstream bugs and confusion. If your app or integration maps fulfillment statuses exhaustively, add handling for this new value when you adopt 2026-10. Now let's talk about what's happening on the industry side, because the biggest story from this period is actually a trust and infrastructure issue. Google has confirmed it's investigating reports of reviews going missing from Google Business profiles, and it's a bigger deal than it might sound. Businesses have been reporting disappearing reviews since February 2026, but the situation escalated over the holiday weekend. Some businesses are losing individual reviews, others are seeing total review counts drop significantly, and in some cases, new reviews appear to be paused entirely. This is happening across countries and industries, which suggests a systemic technical issue rather than targeted enforcement. What's notable about Google's response is what they didn't say. They didn't attribute the disappearances to spam filtering or policy enforcement. They just said they're investigating. That language pattern, or rather the absence of the usual enforcement language gear, suggests a platform-level bug potentially related to the AI-powered review moderation systems Google has been deploying. For e-commerce merchants, this matters on multiple levels. The direct impact is obvious. Lost reviews mean lower star ratings, which reduces click-through rates and local pack visibility. But the secondary effects are also significant. Multi-channel brands rely on Google reviews as trust signals, even for customers who ultimately buy through the brand's own website. And Google Shopping pulls from business profile data, so profile issues can ripple into advertising performance. The practical takeaway here isn't to panic, it's to diversify. If your review strategy lives exclusively on Google business profiles, this is your wake-up call. Maintain active review collection on platforms like Trustpilot or industry-specific sites. Display first-party reviews on your own product pages and archive your reviews off-platform so a Google technical issue doesn't cost you months of customer feedback data. Also from the Google universe this weekend, search engine Land reported that the indexing report in Google Search Console has finally been fixed after a three-week delay. For 3 weeks, site owners had no updated data on which of their pages Google was indexing. That's a long time to fly blind, especially if you're launching new products or running seasonal campaigns. The fix is welcome, but the outage duration is a reminder that relying on a single monitoring tool for critical SEO data has real risks. Stepping back from Google, the other major industry story is the aftermath of Amazon's Prime Day, which ran June 23rd through 26th this year, earlier than ever. Retail Dive reported the final numbers. US online retail spend during the Prime Day period hit $26.4 billion, up 9.3% year over year, according to Adobe data. That slightly exceeded Adobe's pre-event forecast of $26.3 billion. There are a few data points from the results that are worth highlighting. Buy now, pay later orders jumped 9.5% compared to last year, accounting for 6.6% of online orders, or about $2.1 billion. Consumers used the sale to trade up, with the share of the most expensive products growing 19% compared to average levels year to date. Electronics discounts peaked at 24% off listed price, up slightly from 23% last year. What's interesting here isn't just the top line growth, it's the gravitational pull. Prime Day online spend is now approaching Black Friday levels. Consumers spent about $32.45 billion across Thanksgiving, Black Friday and Cyber Monday last year per Adobe. At $26.4 billion, Prime Day is closing that gap fast. For e-commerce merchants, this reshapes the promotional calendar. If your biggest sale event is still November, you may be missing a significant and growing June spending window. On the Magento community side, the Mage Dispatch newsletter highlighted several notable releases over the weekend. MageWire V3 landed. That's a major update to the LiveWire-inspired interactive component framework for Magento, which makes building dynamic front-end interfaces without writing JavaScript significantly easier. MageSmith was also featured, bundling 14 developer tools into a single workspace. And the Panth malware scanner and file integrity monitor got coverage, which is relevant given that Magento stores continue to be targeted by credit card skimming attacks. Having file integrity monitoring in place is table stakes for any merchant processing payments through Magento. Pulling all of this together, the theme I see across the weekend's developments is infrastructure resilience. Hoover 1.5.1 is about making front-end performance resilient by reducing dependency on client-side JavaScript. Google's review disappearances are a reminder that your trust infrastructure needs to be resilient across multiple platforms. The Google Search Console outage shows why monitoring infrastructure needs redundancy. And Amazon Prime Day's continued growth is reshaping the promotional infrastructure of e-commerce in ways that require merchants to be resilient and adaptable in their planning. The brands and merchants that build for resilience, diversify review strategies, server-rendered performance, multi-channel trust signals, flexible promotional calendars are the ones that can absorb these platform-level shocks without losing ground. The ones that depend on a single platform, a single promotional moment, or a single rendering approach are the ones most exposed. That's your ONTAP Daily for July 6th, 2026. If any of this sparked a question or you want to learn more about e-commerce, you can find us at ontapgroup.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, keep building.